Mr. Wallace, reel 7.
Which did you prefer, service aboard destroyers or battleships?
Destroyers, because discipline wasn't so great.
The what?
You didn't have discipline. You didn't have, it was more callio. You know, more easy going.
Callio?
Callio, that's what they called it.
How do you spell that?
C-A-L-I-C-O. Or C-A-L-I, callio, calico, callio.
Calico.
Callio.
Yes. Was there anything else apart from the sleeping arrangements?
Oh, well, you had. You didn't have half the... You didn't have the exercises to do. You didn't have... I mean, you kept the ship clean, but otherwise everything was easy going. I mean, you could go ashore. As long as there was so many aboard, that's all right. All the remainder could go ashore.
Did you mess differently on destroyers?
Well, we used to have a at that time they didn't have no naffy.
Mm.
There was an older naffy now does all the catering.
Yeah.
But there was different people that used to attend, and we had a fella at Chatham that used to come aboard and take our order, and he'd bring it back that evening. And we'd pay for it. I forget the name now, but he had a shop there, and it was extra for him. I don't know how he used to bring it in. I know he didn't have a motor car. He couldn't have. There wasn't many motor cars about at that time. But anyhow, he used to supply us with everything we wanted. But you had no canteen, no nothing like that.
Now, you joined the Harwich Force just before the outbreak of war, in the spring of 1914.
Yes.
Do you have any particular memories of the actual announcement of the outbreak of war and the effect it had on the Harwich Force?
Well, we had... We were almost... We were sure that war was going to be declared. And we... Everything would... Mess tables, wooden seats of the lockers, which you in a destroyer, you got lockers all round where you keep your kit.
Yeah.
And all the wooden lockers were all, the tops of them were all landed ashore. All the paint that we had in the ship was all taken ashore. In case of fire, ready for going in action. Everything was ready. And at 11 o'clock that night, we were told that an ultimatum had been sent to Germany. And at 11 o'clock that night, we had a signal which meant commence hostilities against Germany at midnight. Well, we had already had orders to go to sea at 5 o'clock in the following morning. That was on Tuesday, the 5th of August. We went to sea, and we were at sea about, 6 or 7 hours, and we sighted a fishing boat showing us a flag that meant I have important information to communicate. Well, as I told you the other night, we told the 3rd Division, or at least Captain D in the Undaunted made a signal, 3rd Division, led by the Lance. Commander Egerton was the commander of her. Chase. Just one meant one, it was one thing. Flag 2, pennant 3, flag 9. The pennant 4 meant the fort, 2 meant the division, pennant 4 meant the fort division, and flag 9 singly meant chase. another blank fire was open fire, but chase was a signal. Well, they got this information and they put on full speed. That was the 3rd Division. Well, the 1st, 2nd and 4th Division, there was no orders for them. We were carried on behind our leader, the Undaunted. Then suddenly, away on the starboard bow, we sighted the German, the liner that they were mentioned about. Well, lads fired a couple of rounds across our bows and made a signal, stop instantly. Well, she didn't stop instantly. She broke. Now, when I say broke, it means when you trice a flag up, you trice it up, it's in a bundle, tied up in a bundle. You trice it up, and when you want to break it, you just pull the other and it comes out and it flies out. Well, she had a flag at each masthead, a German flag, and when the lads started firing at her, firing across her bows, she broke German flag, the largest flag she had, at each masthead. And she started firing back at the division, the 3rd Division, with 6-pounder guns. Well, I mean, they were like, it's the same as a revolver against a rifle.
It sounds like either a rather brave thing or a rather foolhardy thing to do.
Well, she couldn't. I just can't make out why she did it, because she had no earthly. It means to say, if you're out there and you've got a revolver, you're firing at me, I'm outside the range of your revolver, but I've got a rifle that I can get you and you can't get me, you've got no chance.
What happened?
Well, when she started firing back, well, everything went mad. Every destroyer, there were 16 destroyers there, and each one of them started bang, bang, bang. You know, they just broke loose. And within a quarter of an hour, she toppled over and sank. All the destroyers were all round her. They're all picking up survivors. But when they picked up, you're in a boat here, and you've got to pick up a survivor. Well, he's very heavy, you know, when you get hold of a man about 13 or 14 stone. Well, to you. And up he comes like that, but there's only this much of him. The remainder's shot away. He's got a life belt on, and the life belt's keeping him up.
Sorry, I think you missed a bit out. You sank the Königin.
Yes.
And then you put out in boats, did you?
Well, then we went. We've done the only thing possible, the humane thing, pick up survivors. Well, when you see a man in the water, you don't start groping. You get hold of him as quick as you can. And when you pick him up, you find out that there's only this much of him.
Just the trunk.
Just the trunk. But there was, I think, 29. I think it's 29. I don't think I'm far out. There were 29 survivors picked up by the different destroyers. Well, a destroyer's got no place to keep a prisoner of war. Because if you've got prisoners of war, you've got to have escorts. You've got to have armed escorts looking after them. So, Undaunted made a signal.
Sorry, start that again.
Undaunted made a signal. Send all survivors to Undaunted. Send all prisoners to Undaunted. Well, they were all sent to Undaunted, and the only place she could put them was in the fore peak, that is down and right down in the bows. The following morning, they were on board the Undaunted, and the following morning, when we're returning to harbour, because the arrangements were, 3rd Flotilla would do 48 hours, And then the first flotilla would come down. And we'd carry on like that. So there was always one flotilla on the patrol. On our way into harbour, undaunted, struck a mine laid previously by the German mine layer. After a time, undaunted, settled down and blew up. And of the prisoners of war she had on board, one was picked up by the Linnet. When undaunted blew up, a shell from her magazine dropped on the deck of the Linnet and killed two of the people that was in charge of the one prisoner of war that escaped. So the whole 29 lost their lives.
Mm. You mentioned how at the beginning of the war all of the woodwork and all of the paintwork had been stripped to prevent any fire risks. Did the war itself affect any other routine aspects of ship's life?
No. And all the woodwork that was put ashore in the first place was all recovered very shortly afterwards, or what we were able to recover, we all brought back and used it.
I was wondering if it affected things like the amount of spit and polish you did, whether it affected the routine watch keeping.
No, it didn't. It affected nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Now, the following year, you transferred to the destroyer.
Yeah, well, now they are fine. When she sunk, her captain came on board Llewellyn, because Llewellyn was the senior officer. And Captain Fox, he was a very fine-looking man, very dark, with beautiful hair. And when he came on board, both his hands were burnt, and all his hair was singed. I mean, I was on the bridge alongside of him for the remainder of the trip into harbour, which we got in harbour sometime that afternoon when we collected ourselves together. Now,